And open up to Ephesians chapter number 1 in the Word of God. Ephesians and chapter number 1 in the Word of God today. For those of you who are visiting with us, we are in a series now looking at different characters in the Word of God. And this series over, I guess now, 27 parts has been entitled Heroes of the Faith. And we came through a 10-part series looking at the leadership of Moses, then jumped into a female character of Esther, looked at Abishai, who's not mentioned in the Word of God very much. We dove in for about 6 weeks looking at Luke chapter number 5 and looking at the life of Peter. And then last week, really kind of concluded with how God created Peter, and that although very different and although at times it seemed like he was all over the map, God used Peter in such an incredible way. And before we head into our next character, there is something that I want us to ponder and think about over the next several moments. As we look at all of these characters in the Word of God, there is no doubt that many of them are used in a great way. There is no doubt that many of them, as they live their lives through different parts of centuries, that God began to use them, pick them, choose them, and some are great, some not so much. Some have incredible stories and others do not. And as we look at the background, the history, and kind of exegete from these characters, there is something many times that they have in common. One of these, these characteristics, or perhaps one of these abilities that they all have in common that gave them, again, the ability to be successful is found here in the New Testament. And so for the next couple of moments, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter number 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word as we look at the end of this chapter. Chapter number 1, would you look with me at verse number 19 and follow along as I read. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 19, the Bible says this. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be a head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, The Power of God. For the next couple of moments, let's tune in to this passage of Scripture and begin to look at the power of God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, incredible that we get to stop and we get to worship You today. I'm thankful, Savior, that we still live in a country where we are able to do so freely. Father, I ask, Lord, that You would meet with us here, right now, in this place. Father, we can sit here, we can sit disgruntled. We can sit here and we have the freedom not to sing, to pick apart this message, to pick apart every song, to be concerned and worried about what's going to happen this afternoon, to be bitter about what took place this past week, to be upset, screaming, life is not fair. Or, Father, we can come in and realize that You have the power to help us overcome. That, Father, You are great. You are awesome. You are incredible. You are alive. And that You're meeting with us right here. Savior, I ask, Lord, that You'd be in this message. That You would lead, that You would guide, that You would direct. Father, I ask, Lord, right now, in this place, You'd meet with us. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If we begin to ask the question, where does our power come from on this earth? If we begin to ask ourselves, how do you and I have the power to stand? Or if we begin to ask, where do you and I receive the power to be bold? Or where does the church get its power to be able to, stand for what is right, or have the power to continue to do ministry, or where do you and I, as the body of Christ, how do you and I as the bride, how do you and I as the church, how do you and I in 2022 be able to do and accomplish the things that you and I do and accomplish? Well, the easy answer would be to say, well, it's from God, of course. I mean, good grief, you're preaching a message today on the power of God. I mean, it's very easy, Pastor. I mean, look, we can conclude this and be done right now if we just all admit, okay, well, we're able to do and accomplish, and we are able to have the marriages we have and raise the kids that we raise and live in the wicked world that we live in and accomplish what we're able to accomplish in our lifetime. And if, once again, if you're a Bible believer, if that's our final authority, then we stop right there and say, well, of course, it's by God's power. But I would ask us today, do we really believe that? I mean, do we really as Christians believe in the power of God? You see, in this book, in Ephesians, we see Christ as he is. Not as the world says that he is, not as culture would define him, not as even some religions would define him as, but in the Word of God, we see the very definition of Christ. You see, the world has a very warped view of God. The world has a very warped view of who Jesus Christ is. That's why he is mocked. That's why he is blasphemed. That's why his name is cursed throughout Hollywood constantly. And that's why there are those that hate that you and I meet in this place today, is because there is a very warped view of who God is. One commentator said it like this: they see him as God, little g, but not as the God. If we see Jesus Christ through human eyes and mind, and I quote, listen to this, we will have a worldly perception of him. But in the Word of God, you and I are able to gain, you and I are able to see, you and I are able to define the right perception of Jesus, and especially in these verses. I find it of great interest that as we approach the book of Ephesians, that this chapter ends with kind of this dissertation on the very power of God. In fact, the two words that are used here is exceeding greatness. And then in verses number 21, 22, and 23, we see this incredible definition, or it gives us all the information that you and I need concerning the power, or concerning the greatness of our God. The Bible put it like this in Psalm chapter 62 and verse number 11. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that, listen very carefully, that power belongeth unto God. Power both belongs to God and power comes from God. What made so many times heroes of the faith that you and I have looked at, what has made their story so incredible is that they were able to tap into this power of God. What is so incredible about them is we're able to look at their lives. You and I are able to look at who he is, and we're able to look at what he accomplished through them. And what I love about each and every one of their stories is that when we come to the end of Revelation, when we come to the end of the book, it's not that God's power, well, it dissipates, it's gone, it's no longer there. But what I love about the Word of God, what I love about our God, what I love about Jesus Christ, is that you and I have the same God that worked in their lives can still work in the lives of you and I living today. If you believe that, would you say amen today? We ought to believe that. But I'm afraid we are raising a generation that is being brought up on the used-to-be, the used-to-years, the incredible revivals we used to have, the hymns we used to sing, the hymn writers that used to write, the missionaries that used to go out, the preachers that used to fill the pulpit. I just want to say, for every teenager that's in here today, can I tell you, as you went to camp this last week and are now back, the God that I serve and the God that my dad serves and your grandparents serve is the same God that you can serve today. Amen? He's still seated on the throne. Our God, excuse me, friend, is not dead. He is alive. He lives. He reigns. He rules. And can I tell you, he has, check this word out here, unlimited power. Let's look at his power for just a moment. When we look at his power, we see, number one, God has power, you ready for this? Over Satan and his demons. How many believe that today? Would you say amen? Do you know that we know this as a matter of fact? You see, the Bible says here in verse number 21, far above, watch it now, all principality, far above, and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You and I must realize that God has power over Satan and every fallen angel that followed Satan out of heaven. Can I tell you today, the Bible gives us a story. And this story, whoo, sorry about the mic there. This story is written in Job in chapter number 1. Gary, I didn't do anything. Like, literally, I'm preaching. And God has power over the mics. So we're just going to have to really pray over this. And so, but check this out. The Bible gives us in Job chapter number 1, where some angels and Satan come. And they're coming to talk to God, and check this out. They come to present themselves. The Bible says, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. In the story of Job, the Bible says that Satan himself came. He is subject unto God. Angels are subject unto him. Satan and demons, watch now, are under God's authority. In fact, in this verse, in verse number 10, they say, hey, we want to mess with one of your servants, Job, but we are not able to. You know why? Because you have put a hedge of protection around him, and we do not have the power to break that hedge. Satan is subject unto God. But also the Bible gives us in the New Testament several circumstances where also the demons are subject unto him. The demons know who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 28, and when he was come to the other side of the country, there met him, watch this very carefully, two. They were possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, is what the Bible says. And no man might pass that way. The villagers, they were scared. Nobody wanted to go up there. They're fierce, they're mean, they're extremely strong. Watch. And behold, they cried out, saying, listen, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come out hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from an herd of many swine feeding, and the devils besought him, talking about Jesus. They're asking, they're pleading, they're begging, besought him that if he were to cast out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. The demons in the Word of God, they knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew who, they knew the power that Jesus possessed. I want to warn us today as a church to be mindful that although, yes, we understand that God has ultimate control over Satan, over the devil, and over all his demons, over all his minions. Can I tell you this? Satan and his demons are still not something that you and I ought to mess around with. Friend, today, Hollywood is not our friend. And the movies that come out nowadays, it feels like it's darker and it's more torture and it's more gory. And can I tell you, there is a light and there is a darkness on this earth. And the darkness of this world is dark. And I am thankful today as a Christian, listen now, as Jesus Christ lives inside of my heart, I cannot be demon possessed. A demon cannot dwell inside of me, and he cannot dwell inside of you as a Christian. But even though you and I know this, and we understand the very power of God, and we understand through Scripture that Satan must come and bow and present himself to God, it's the the satanic things of this world ought to still not be messed around with as you and I as Christians. Friend, I'm going to warn us today, we ought to be very careful what we allow in our houses. The music we listen to, the movies that we watch, those things can play with us. Those things can fill our house. I love almost every day Carrie's got music that's playing in our house, and I do in my office as well, and Nicole plays it around the church. And you know, we play is something that is soothing. It's something that is Christ-like. It's something that has good lyrics, and it's what is it? It is something that is glorifying to God. I've said it before, and Pastor DeFoe, I think you and I even had a conversation about it, that I understand that there are some pastors out there, and this is their preference. I'm not preaching against them at all, but I do not want to be the type of preacher that comprehends the very power of God, but then will blaspheme, call out, and tempt Satan. Come on, Satan, bring it on. Oh, bless God, I'm going to get in the pulpit, mount the pulpit, twist the devil's whiskers today. Tell you something, friend, Satan is very powerful. He's more powerful than you, and he's more powerful than me. And God forbid I ever tempt Satan of, come on, bring it on. I got 5 kids and a wife, and we serve God. We know he's bigger than you, and come on, put on your big boy britches. Bring it on, Satan. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't see that in the Word of God, and I do believe that is very foolish. You and I ought to abstain. You and I ought to stay away. Do we serve a God that is powerful? Yes. I am so thankful as I stand here today. I don't have to worry about Satan and his demons. And I don't have to sit here and fret. Man, if it's Satan against God, if they fight each other, then oh my goodness, you know, I don't know who would win. I know from the Word of God that his power is bigger, it's better, it's more stronger. Satan tried it once. And my friend, may I tell you, in the Old Testament, he failed and was cast out. There is no name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. There is no power that is more powerful than the very name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. You want power today? Get off Google and Facebook and get your face in the book, because, friend, I'm here to tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood. There is power in this Bible. But I'm not going to be one that sits here and messes around foolishly with the darkness of this world. Let me tell you something, teenager, it'll suck you in. We think it's funny and we think it's cool. We laugh at it. But let me tell you, Satan can work through Hollywood in such a way that this world now, our nation, loves violence, gore, blood, torture. I heard a preacher say years ago, I don't know how America will ever come to a place like they live in Revelation, where they are putting to death Christians. Can I tell you, friend, in 2022, it's easy to see. You don't get your way, burn the buildings down. You don't get your way, burn the flag. You don't get your way, boy, I'm telling you, violence, take it to the streets. That's the world that you and I live in. Boy, isn't this just so encouraging today? Like, no wonder Brother Gary's trying to cut my microphone off. He's like, we got visitors here. Like, okay, happy, happy times, happy thoughts. Oh, let's get to the happiness. Understand, God has power over Satan and demons. Number two, God has power over creation. The Bible says in Psalm 135, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, all the deep places. Check it out. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh the lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out, listen, of his treasuries. Even the disciples stepped back and began to wonder who it was that this man was as they were on this boat, the Bible says in Mark. And he arose, talking about Jesus, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Do you know what the wind did? The wind listened better than most of our kids. The Bible says, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are those so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples scratched their head. Why? Because of his incredible power.
Friend, not only does our God have power over Satan and over demons, but did you know that there is no such thing? You ready for this? I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but there is no such thing as Mother Nature. I sixth grade science teacher told me, okay, I get it, but not all sixth grade science teachers, sorry, Brother Mancroni, they don't always know like everything. God's over, friend, it all. His ecosystem was made exactly right. He controls the rain. He controls the wind. We could use, Brother Motter, you're here today, Brother Dick, we need some rain right now. Him and I love to mess with our yards, but Jeff, you're the same way. Man, we need rain right now. I don't know about y'all. I've been watering. I'm going to pay $100 in a stinking water bill. My grass is still as brown as the neighbor's that has never watered his yard. Bitter? Yes. Okay, I'll get right with God later. But nonetheless, we need some rain. Storms. Can I tell you? All of it is in God's hands. You cannot tell me from a caterpillar to a butterfly, my goodness, to a lizard, to the fish that are in the sea, to the birds that are in the air, to the whales, to the dogs, to the cats. You look at this system. You look at nature. And friend, let me tell you, that did not happen by just, oops, it was an accident and some big bang. No, God said, let there be, and there was. He has power. Satan has demons over all of creation. But also he has power over all government. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 1 that God is over the authorities. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and the rivers of water. He turneth it whitherso he will. All nations and kings are under his control. The Bible says in Psalm 75, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Understand today that the government is not my final authority, neither is it yours. The Word of God is our final authority. And if God wanted someone else in office, He could allow someone else in office. But what I love about our Savior is that He does give us free will. And He allows us at times to get, excuse me, friend, America, He allows us to get what you and I ask for. When you look at our nation, we asked for it and He allowed us to get it. We must be reminded today that righteousness exalteth a nation. And no matter what America does, no matter what other countries do, ultimately you and I have the very Word of God. And I'm a patriot through and through, but before I'm a patriot, I am a Christian. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that there's a canon of Scripture of 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, and I believe every word literal. I believe that He is coming again. And friend, let me tell you something. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. But there is a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The power of God, my friend, is truly something that could be preached about for 1,000 years each and every day. The end of verse number 19 says, according to the working of His, look at the wording here, mighty power. The Bible says in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So all the power is God, an infinite God. He has it. He possesses it. But how does this affect you and I? It would no doubt affected the lives of those we have talked about. It affected Peter's life. Excuse me. It wasn't Peter's power that they launched out. It wasn't Peter's power that brought the fish in. It wasn't Moses' power that he threw the rod down. It wasn't Moses' power that he stuck his hand in and took it out and his hand became leprous and did it again and it was healed. It wasn't Moses' power, the plagues. It wasn't Esther's power being at where she was at that time. It wasn't her power that she was in Mordecai's family. She wasn't her power to be where she was. Understand, all the power that we have seen, even in Abishai, Abishai to take out Ish-bibi-nob and the other characters that we talk about. Hold on. We know that this infinite God has power and that he has given it to other characters in the Word of God. Hold on. So how does that power affect you and how does it affect me? Well, we see, first of all, that his power affects us in our salvation. Number one, in our salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, wherefore he is able also, watch this very carefully, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God, listen now very carefully, by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Friend, his power is given to you and I, and it's only through the power of God that you and I are able to receive as a free gift his salvation that you and I have learned of and know and stand on from the very Word of God. Hold on. We can see his power is the only power that can save you and can save me. If you believe that today, would you say amen? It's not, hold on. It's not our power. You see, there's many other religions, and there's even other those that go to good churches that will try to add personal merit to either saving them or to keeping them saved. But I am thankful today that we can preach a Bible salvation that is based upon, listen very carefully, not my power, not your power, not my works, not your works, but it's based on the very power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, can I remind us today, or maybe you're visiting with us, did you know, and I do apologize, we're getting new speakers, everybody in the overflow, so just follow me on the camera for a second. Understand or be reminded today that we don't have to work for our salvation. The things that you and I do that we feel good about, man, I'm doing this, and well, I did this, and boy, I must be so impressive to God. And can I just tell you, friend, our righteousness is as filthy rags. I got a new suit. I don't know if anybody likes my new suit. I'm just going to brag on it for a minute. My wife got me this new suit, and I've been needing a blue suit, and my waist outgrew my other one. So I decided to, it's time. And so Carrie got me this new suit, and here I am. Can I just tell you, friend, I love this suit. It's super comfortable. I'm super nervous about sweating in it, Carrie. I'm like, please don't sweat. I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. Man, I need to preach a little harder. But now, listen, can I just tell you, friend, if I were walking here in this new suit, and Brother Tom Miller, I know you like my shoes. I like yours too. We almost matched today. But if I came in here and I shined these shoes today, and I got my new suit on, and the waist fits, and it feels good, can I just tell you, friend, if I walk in here like this, like some politician, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, look at me. Oh, look how big this Bible is. Thick, large print, King James, 1611, baby. Here we are. I'm going to walk in here like I'm just going to impress God. And I elevate myself to where God said, son, you don't belong there. He must increase, and I must decrease. It's not about Miss Palencia coming up here today and, oh, look at this, look what I could do. Miss Mancroni over here on the piano, and praise the Lord for our orchestra that's up here. God forbid it be one of these, whatever, 7, 8, 9, 10 men that stand up here and we start thinking it's all about us when God said, that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is it's my power. It's mine. I bought it with my blood. I purchased it. It's no one else's. And friend, can I tell you today, you cannot work for your salvation. You cannot work to keep your salvation. If you lived a life of morality for 10,000 years, it would not be enough to get you to heaven. Friend, it is only by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that you and I freely are able to accept what he has given to us. His mercy, his grace, friend, it's his power that saved us. And I'm so thankful it is his power that keeps you and man I saved. Well, what's in it for us? Okay, they got power, but what do we get? Well, his power is there in our salvation, but also his power is in our sanctification. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. I love the verse that says, for we are, listen to this carefully, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. When you and I received his power to get saved, it is also that power that is worked through sanctification. What does that mean? It means this, friend. There are so many people that are watching these TED Talks, and they're listening to all these podcasts, and how do I be a better person, and how do I overcome, and how do I find happiness? And there's some good things that I've listened to, many of them myself. But can I tell you this, friend? You can listen to as many podcasts as you want. You can listen to every leadership TED Talk out there. You can pick up every magazine. You can subscribe to every literature that is written this year on how to be happy and how to overcome and how to move forward. And some might be good, but let me tell you something, friend. If you do it outside of the works and the power of Jesus Christ, you are completely and totally wasting your time. You know why? Because it is the power of God that is able to help you and I overcome bitterness. It is the power of God that's able to help a person overcome pride and pornography and alcohol and have a good relationship with a wife or with the husband. Let me tell you something, friend. You and I cannot do it on our own. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're saved. And it's then through his power that you and I are made this new creature. A new creature that's not looking in the rearview mirror. That's not bitter and prideful and mad and upset and living our entire life on the association of what happened to me. No, it is through his power that you and I are able to overcome. How many really would say, I'm really thankful for that? Would you say amen today? Well, let me tell you, friend, I am. You know what that means? In this very building right now, we've got men and women who probably used to be drunkards. In this very room, sitting in your pews, you've got men and women who failed at being a husband or a wife. And this room, there are men and women that sit in these pews that struggled with for years with looking at pornography and things that they shouldn't. And there are those in this room who have addictions, and there are those that sit in these pews. Let me tell you, hold on, let me just be super square, and are still looking at 2016 when they were hurt. And there are those in this very room right now that have a rebellious spirit towards God or have had a rebellious spirit towards God. Somebody says, well, I'd go to church, but let me tell you, the church is just full of hypocrites. So are the restaurants. So's the Walmart line. Didn't stop you or me. Had to go to a 33 waist. I'm not too happy about that. It didn't stop us from eating. Somebody says that to me, well, I'd go to church, but it's just full of. I always almost come off like, yeah, you're exactly right. Boy, I'm telling you. Honestly, I've been there too. You know what Paul said? And such were some of you. But you've been bought. And you've been changed. And his power got a hold of your life. And we're no longer looking in the rearview mirror of life. We're no longer elevating ourselves. We're no longer addicted to the things of this world. You know why? Because the power of God got a hold of our lives and sanctification took over. And let me tell you something, friend. When you allow the power of God to sneak in, when you allow the power of God to sink in, let me tell you something. It will transform your life. Transform. I hate using the word, and Carrie, I do so often, so I've been trying to go. I use the word awesome a lot, so I'm just going to say it. It's awesome. It'll put a smile on your face. Friend, you don't have to sit here. And I'll never overcome, and I've been to the altar how many times. I can't give it up, and I can't let it go. No, you can't, but he can. His salvation, his sanctification. And lastly, and I'll be done today, Brother Denny's not here, so we don't have to worry about him zipping his Bible up. So we're good on this. But number three, Rita, you tell him I said that. Number three, his power in slacking. You say, Pastor, what does this mean? Difficult times. When we're slack in spirit. What is slacking? It's a depressing moment. And honestly, I was trying to get three S's up there, and it was the best I could come up with. So we have salvation, sanctification, and slacking, okay? Give me a hard time later, but it fits, okay? The Bible says in Isaiah, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This verse in verse number 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Peter said it like this, and I quote, according as his divine nature hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, how? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. I want to ask you today, are you tired? Are you depressed? Are you lonely? Are you tired of that sin that overtook you yesterday? Angry? Ready just to call it quits? Don't rely on your power. Friend, don't rely on my power. Let's rely on his. Scared of talking to somebody about the gospel? Let's not rely on our power. Scared of saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Completely and totally overwhelmed by the darkness of the news of what's happened in our nation. Bills, gas, groceries got you down? Do you need a new start? Well, I've been saved. Do you need a new start? Yeah. Let's not rely on our power. Let's rely on his. Friend, right now, nobody, there's no heads bowed, no eyes closed. Let's just be honest. We're church, we're family. There's some visitors that are here today, and we're so thankful you're here. But come on, play along. Let's do this. Let me just say this. Lord, I can't do it in my power. I need you. Hold on. God, I can't do this in my power anymore. I need you. Lord, that's me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Would you just raise it? Just raise it. If it's not, don't worry about it. Don't. I'm not even looking around. Just raise it. My hand's raised. Carry both of our hands. We're raised. What are we going to do? It's 11:56. If we go right now, we can hurt. No. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. Let's talk to him about it. I'm going to invite you, moms, dads, husbands, wives, teenagers, college students, young adults, teenagers. Step out. Miss Ben Cronin begins to play. Don't worry about everybody that's leaving and doing their... No, no. Let's just come and do business with God today. God, I can't do it in my power. I need you. I'm inviting you to come. And let's talk to him today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you please stand to your feet today with every head bowed, with every eye closed? How does his power affect us? It's in salvation and sanctification and slacking today. God, I need your power today.